Go to Acts chapter number 22. The Bible is what's going to change your life. It's not me. It's not my words. It's the Bible. So I want you to have your Bible and go to Acts 22. Acts 22. And if you need a handout, just feel free to lift your hand up. Our ushers will be glad to bring you one at this time. If we missed you on the way in, we've got ushers in the balcony too. So just lift your hand up. Our ushers will be glad to bring you that. Can you imagine for a moment? Imagine for a moment that I got done preaching here at 11 and I go back here to the hospitality room and I greet people. And then when I leave the building, this building, and I head across to the office building, that like I do every Sunday, that there's about 15 or 20 guys that are waiting for me. They don't like what I had to say in church. And on my way across the parking lot, they all tackle me, mob me, and they start beating me. Can y'all imagine that for a moment? Good, I'm glad you can't. But don't you know Pastor Rob would whoop up on all of them for me, amen? And I'd hope some of you guys would rise to the occasion. I hope it wouldn't be, like, sorry, Pastor, I'm going to lunch, you know. But hopefully you'd be there for me. But, you know, the Apostle Paul, that's exactly what happened to the guy. He goes to Jerusalem with the intent to share Christ with people. And they grab the guy, drag him out in the street, and start beating him. The chief captain, who would be like a policeman today, the Roman chief captain, has to come and rescue him. They got soldiers. They got to carry him up the castle stairs. They arrest him, and they start... The violence is so bad, the Bible says they had to bear Paul up. In other words, they had to have like four soldiers, and they had him up in the air, and they're carrying him like this up the stairs. And when he gets to the very top of the stairs of the castle, the mob is down there. They're you know, away with him, kill him. And they're real mad, you know. And the Apostle Paul has the wits about him. He's the only one in the whole bunch that's actually emotionally stable. He's got his wits about him. He's not upset. He's not frazzled. He gets up to the top of the stairs. He looks at the chief captain. He says, hey, would it be okay if I address these people? would it be okay if I talk to them? What? You want to talk to him? He thought Paul was some other dude. And so he didn't even know who Paul was. And when Paul explained that he was a Jew himself and that he was also a Roman citizen, whoa, the chief captain kind of took notice of that. And, you know, you're in Acts 22. Go to the Acts 21, the last couple verses there. And look at verse 39, Acts 21, 39. It says, but Paul said, they're at the top of the stairs now. Paul said, I am a man, which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city. That means he was a Roman citizen. And I beseech thee, suffer, that means allow me to speak unto the people. And so Paul's up here. They have just carried him like this up the stairs. They sat him down. He's the only guy that isn't frazzled and upset. He's got the wisdom, the wits about him to look at the chief captain. Can I talk to these people? Would you mind if I addressed them before you arrest me? And the chief captain amazingly lets him. Look at the end of the verse, verse 40. Look at the end of that chapter. It says, and when he had given him license, in other words, he gave him permission, Paul stood on the stairs, beckoned with the hand unto the people, and when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, comma. Remember, they didn't have chapter divisions when the Bible was first written. So it's a comma. Goes right into the next chapter, and it tells you what he said to them. It shares with you what he said. Men and brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, and boom. You know what he's going to do right now? He's going to share his testimony. Paul is going to stand up here. I mean, he's up here on the top of the stairs. And I thought about getting up there, but I don't want to split my pants, all right? So I'm gonna stand here. And he's looking out over the crowd. The Roman captain gives him permission to talk, and all of a sudden this hush falls over the crowd. And Paul begins to address, and basically what he does in chapter 22 is he shares his testimony. He shares his personal testimony of what God had done in his life. In your handout, it says, everyone that has been saved has a personal testimony. Everybody that's saved has a testimony. If you're saved today and you know you're going to heaven and you know that God lives in your heart, you have a testimony as to how you got to that place. Everyone's testimony is unique. Everybody's is different. My testimony of how I got saved is different than Steve here. His testimony is different than his wife, Heather. Her testimony of salvation is different than Scotty, and Scotty's is different than Clayton. All of us in here have a unique story, all of us who are saved, how we came to know God, how we came to know Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of our sins. Your story about your conversion to Christ is different than anybody else's. That's your story. Sharing your testimony, like Paul did, is a very powerful way for you to witness to other people about Jesus Christ. It's kind of a non-confrontational way. You know, sometimes if you just kind of, you know, I don't know, say for instance you're out in the yard and a neighbor comes over, and all of a sudden you say to your neighbor, "You've sinned and come short of the glory of God." And he looks at you and goes, "Well, it is a beautiful day, isn't it?" And you say to him, "The wages of sin is death. Friend, you're a sinner. And you're going to die. And you're going to spend eternity apart from God if you don't come to Jesus." Well, how long do you think he's going to sit there and listen to that? Probably not real long. But you know what? If you talk to him and, "Hey, yeah, man, got a lot of rain last night. Wow, that's unbelievable. And hey, and man, I tell you what, man, I didn't know if we were going to have church or not. Man, I didn't know if there'd be any power. Oh, really? You go to church?" "Yeah, I go to church." What? "Where do you go?" You know, and you start talking to him and you say, hey, you know what? Let me just tell you about my life." And you just begin in conversation to share with that person your testimony, your story. That's your story. You begin to share that, they'll listen. Most of the time, people will listen to that. Now, there's no doubt the authority is in God's Word. And that's why our testimony, you know, hopefully your testimony is going to segue into being able to talk about the Bible, talk about the plan of salvation. But that's a powerful thing. Your testimony, that's yours. Every believer can share their testimony with others. Every believer can share their testimony with others. You know, what I want to do this morning is I want to take Paul's testimony, because that's what he basically does. He shares his testimony with this crowd. And I want to break it down into three parts, and I want to show you how to share your testimony with other people today, okay? Now, you may be here and say, "I don't have a testimony. I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't even know if I'm in God's family." Boy, I'll tell you what, there is not a better day than today than to get that settled, amen? And at the end of the 9:30 service, man, we had a guy come out of the balcony, and he came down and got saved today, and he was ready to trust Christ. So, you know, the good news is if you don't have a testimony, buddy, I tell you what, we can get you on the path to getting one today, amen? And you can leave this building, and you can have a testimony if you don't have one. But if you do have a testimony, I want to share with you from Paul how you can share it with others. Number one is this, okay? Number one in your handout is share briefly your life before Christ. Share briefly your life before Christ. Paul basically shares with all these Jewish people some very pertinent information about his past life before he knew Jesus. And Betty, I tell you what, he got their attention. Look with me at verse number 3. He said, "I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia." And then he says, "Yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel." That got their attention because he was the most famous teacher. "And taught," he said, "I was taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there, Christians, bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. You know what he does right here? He starts telling them about his past life before Christ, before he knew Jesus. He confirms his Jewish identity. The Bible says he addressed them in the Hebrew tongue, the Hebrew language. Now, Paul was multilingual. Paul could have addressed them in a number of different languages, and some of them would have understood it. But what he did is he chose to address them in the Hebrew tongue because he's in Jerusalem, and he knew that most of the people there would be able to understand him. When he began to speak in Hebrew, immediately he got their attention. Now, I want to apply that to this. When you're witnessing to somebody and you're sharing your testimony, you want to make sure that you use language that they can understand. In other words, when you witness, you don't want to be too churchy. Do y'all know what I mean by churchy? Don't be too churchy when you talk to people. For example, if you're like these guys on the handout and you're sitting here and you're at the water cooler taking a break at work, and you're talking to some guy that hadn't hardly gone to church a day in his life, and you say to him, "Hey man, I want to tell you about the time when I walked the aisle at church and the blood of the Lamb cleansed my iniquity and brought redemption to my soul." He's going, "What'd you just say? I can't understand a word he was just saying." Yeah, I mean, he's not going to understand that. You know, I walked the aisle. What aisle? You got aisles like at Walmart? What do you mean? I don't get it. You know, you walk the aisle and the blood of the Lamb. Man, you guys got animals up there at that? I know you do it walk through Bethlehem, but I didn't know you had them every Sunday. You got lambs up there every Sunday? What are you doing with the blood of the Lamb? I don't, you know, the blood of the Lamb cleansed me from my iniquity. What's that? You know, brought redemption to my soul. Huh? You know, that's churchy talk, see? And that's not going to connect with them, most likely. So you want to keep it simple. Like Paul, man, he wanted to speak in language that people could understand him. And you've got to talk in language that people can understand. You know, he went through, man, I had a Jewish education. I was raised at the feet of Gamaliel, famous Jewish educator. Boy, that connected with him. That resonated with him. And then as he's talking about his past life, he reminds them of his religious zeal. He said, "I want you to know, guys, I was just like you. Man, I was fully into the religion of Judaism. Religion was my life. In fact, I hated Christians so much that I would go with letters and I'd arrest them and I'd put them in jail." And so he begins to share with them about his past life. Now, if a man with Paul's background in Judaism would convert to Christianity, man, right away that'd make him sit up and listen and take notice. What? In your handout it says, I want you to get this great statement. It says, when you share your testimony, tell them briefly about your life B.C., before Christ. Tell them about your life before you knew Jesus. Tell them about your life before you were saved, before you knew Christ as your Savior. Share your testimony. Tell them about your life B.C. What does B.C. stand for? Before Christ. Hey, we've all got a life B.C., don't we? Hey, how many of you there are things in your life you did before you knew Jesus you're not real proud of? How many of you got some stuff, huh? Any skeletons out there, huh? I do. I have some skeletons in the closet. And you know what? Whenever you share your life B.C., you don't have to be too detailed. You know, keep it general. When Paul shared his life B.C., he didn't go into like gross detail. Man, I went to this one house and I grabbed this guy by the hair and I yanked him and I pulled him out of the house and blood was dripping everywhere and his wife was crying. He didn't do that, did he? No. He told them how he went and jailed people and persecuted Christians, but he didn't go into gory detail. When you share your testimony, you don't have to go into gory detail, but let them know what you were before Christ. Now, certainly, if you're talking to someone who's like struggling with drug addiction, yeah, and you were a drug addict, you want to share that. Shannon, you've been very open. You've been very transparent about how you battled alcohol before you got saved, BC. And that, if you're talking to somebody who's battling alcohol, you'll want to use that. But you got to be careful because you don't want to go into too much gory detail because it can end up having a counter effect. For example, If you're talking to somebody who's very religious and they're very moral, they consider themselves very upstanding and they consider themselves a very good person, and you begin to share with them all the wicked, vile, filthy, rotten things you did before you got saved, they're just sitting there thinking, yeah, you did need God. I don't, but you sure did. You know, man, you did need Him. So, you know, you got to use some sense. Now, in your handout, it says, try to find elements of your past that they can identify with and relate to. And make sure, listen, make sure you explain to them Romans 3:23. Oh, man, get that in there. Let them know that you were a sinner, that you needed salvation. Man, you needed something in your life that was missing. And make sure you explain to them this verse. What? Everybody say that verse with me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many of us in here have sinned against God? Every single one of us. And make sure you explain that. Now, how long should it take you to share your life, BC? Well, I'm thinking if you're going to share your testimony with somebody over the water cooler, I'm thinking 1 to 2 minutes on your past life. Yeah, 1 to 2 minutes is all you need, really. You don't have to go into gory detail. Because most people, when I'm talking about sharing your testimony, I'm not talking about a 30-minute presentation here. Most people are not going to give you 30 minutes and just sit there and go, keep going, please. You know, I mean, they're not going to give you 30 minutes. They're going to give you about what a commercial break is on TV. It's about what they're going to give you. You know, 3 to 5 minutes. That's about what they're going to give you. So you need to tailor your testimony to where it's about 3 to 5 minutes. That's all. That's what I'm talking about. Sharing your testimony. What's your life, BC? Let them know. Here's what I was. This is what I was before I knew Jesus. This is what I was, BC. And it'd take you about a minute and a half to 2 minutes to do that. But then let's go to the next thing. Number two, it says, explain what happened when you were saved. Explain what happened when you were saved. So you tell them what your life was like before Christ, then tell them how you got saved. That's what Paul did. Look at verse number 6. Look how Paul takes his past life. He segues that into when he got saved. Look at verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Paul explains to these people, this is what I was, but let me tell you about the day I got saved. Let me tell you about the day. And it all centered around Jesus Christ. Friend, listen, when you share your testimony, man, you got to get to Jesus, because Jesus Christ is the only one that can save us. When you share your testimony, you know what you want to do? Exalt Jesus Christ. Amen. You want to make sure you lift up Jesus, magnify Him, tell them about how you came to Jesus Christ. And then he shared with the people his response to Jesus. He shared with them the revelation of Christ. Then he shared with them his response. Look at verse number 9. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? The Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. Now look up here, folks. Remember the context. Paul is up on the top steps of the castle. He's talking to a crowd of people like this. And as he shares his testimony with them, he's sharing his story. You got a story just like Paul if you're saved. He says, let me tell you about my life back here, BC. Verse 6 segues into, let me tell you about when I got saved. And here he begins to focus on Jesus Christ, his response to Jesus Christ. He's going to explain to them the role of a man named Ananias and how Ananias kind of took him in and kind of explained things to him. Now, Paul's salvation was one of a kind. It was very unique. But the point is this, we all have a testimony like Paul. And our testimony, like Paul, should point people to Jesus Christ. Always make clear who Christ is and what He has done. As you share your story, you want to share with them what Christ has done. Man, I began to realize that Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross. And I realized that He raised up from the dead. He's alive. And in your handout it says, explain to them your response to Christ when you were saved. How many of y'all remember the day you got saved? Huh? Hey, y'all remember? Amen? All right, now, listen to this. Do you remember where were you when you got saved? You know, what happened? That's your story. You know, how many of you were in church when you got saved? All right? How many of you were in your house when you got saved? How many of you were maybe in a car when you got saved? I was. A lot of you didn't raise your hand. What else is there? Somebody came up to me afterwards and they said they were at a camp, you know, a religious camp, a spiritual, and that's fine. But think about that. Yeah, Doug, think about that. All right, when you share your story, tell them about that. For me, I was in my brother's car. And I went to church with my brother. My parents were out of town. I was a teenager. He was 9 years older than me in college. I went to church with my brother, as I had done a few times. And on the way home, it was real quiet. And on the way home, finally, I broke the silence. And I looked at my brother and I said, "Why do I always feel guilty when I go to your church?" And my brother looked at me and he said, "Damn, that's because the Holy Spirit's convicting you that you need to be saved." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he shared that. He shared with me the gospel. We pulled in our driveway, and right there in his car, I looked at my brother and I said, "Steve, I need to be saved." And that night I got saved. I trusted Christ. You know what? I got saved in a little old nasty, dumpy car. That little old car of his was nasty. But you know what? It's precious to me, buddy. We consecrated it, sanctified it, and said, "Man, praise God, that's where I got saved." Amen. And man, that's exciting to me. What's your story? You know, where were you at when you got saved? Was there anyone that played a key role in your salvation? Was it a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a preacher? Was it a neighbor, a coworker, a grandma, a grandpa? Did someone play a key role in you getting saved? Tell them about that. That's what Paul did, told him about Ananias. You know, think about that. Think about your story, what you were BC. Think about what happened when you got saved. You know, where were you? How did you come to the understanding that you needed to be saved? Did God use someone in your life? He probably did, to show you that you needed to be saved. And then when you've done that, then you go into this last point, which number three is this. Look at the third thing. Share what God has done in your life since your salvation. So you take about a minute and a half BC. You take about a minute and a half to 2 minutes to tell them what happened when you got saved. Now I'm going to spend about a minute and a half and I'm going to tell them about what my life has been like since I found Christ. Let me tell you about my life AC, after Christ. Amen? Paul, after he got saved, Paul assumed that his calling would be to convince the Jews that Christ was the Messiah. I mean, who else better? Paul had fought against it. Paul had persecuted Christians. He said, "Now I'm a believer. Now I'm saved. Now I know Jesus. And I know that He is the Messiah." Who better to go to Jerusalem and to tell all those Jewish people that Jesus Christ is the Messiah? And so Paul naturally thought his ministry would be revolving around Jerusalem. God had other plans for Paul. And God gave him explicit instructions to get out of Jerusalem. Look with me at verse 18. "And I saw him saying unto me, Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me." Church, will you please look at that again? Look at that verse. Notice that Jesus said to Paul, look at it, "Make haste, get thee quickly," and what's that next word? "Out of Jerusalem." Why? "Why, Lord? But I'm the natural one that can bring this city to their knees, bring them to Jesus. Why, Jesus, do you want me to get out?" Look at verse 21. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto who? The Gentiles. That would be Paul's ministry. You know what Paul did right here? They didn't like Paul. They had heard a lot of information about Paul, that Paul basically had turned on his people, the Jews. He had turned against the Old Testament law. He was teaching Gentiles, and he was fraternizing with Gentiles, teaching them not to obey the law. They'd heard a lot of stuff about Paul. So Paul is trying to explain to them why he lived the way he lived. Now, practical application. When you give your testimony, explain to people why you live the way you live now. Just tell them why. Because a lot of people are like, why are they always going to church? Why they see you going to church, they see you carrying a Bible, they see you talking about the Lord. And you know what? A lot of people look at believers like we're some kind of weird religious freaks. And so, in a few words, help them to understand what Christ has meant to you. What He's meant to your family. Question, has Christ meant something to you? Has He made a difference in your life? That's a little weak. Amen. Has He made a difference in your life? Amen. You know, if Christ has made a difference in your life, then tell somebody about it. Just tell them. This is who I am. He changed me. And now this is what I am. Since the day I got saved. And man, I mean, good enough, you got a story to tell. This is why I go to church. And man, I go to church and I go so I learn the Bible. When at my church, I learn the Bible. I learn what God expects of me and what He wants me to do and how He wants me to live. That's why I go to church now. That's why I want to go. I got friends there. Man, Steve, you can tell them I found a wife there. Amen? There she is. Yeah. You can tell them why you go to church and what Christ has done in your life since you've been saved. So there's basically three parts. BC, before Christ. How did you get saved? Tell them that. And then tell them what your life is like now that you're saved. And this is what God's done in my life. And explain to them why you live the way you live. Now, at this point, I want to stop. And I want to have a person in our congregation come. And she is going to basically do what I just explained to you how to do. And I'm going to have her come right now. Colette McGuire is going to come. And I want you to listen to her as she just takes a couple of minutes here. And she's going to share her testimony for the Lord with you. Colette.
Just to let you know, I'm not in my comfort zone right now, so please pray for me. I was Paul. I was raised as an atheist, and evolution and science were taught and worshipped in the home I grew up in. There was no church on Christmas or Easter. We had no one to give glory to except ourselves. I remember when I was 5 years old, and it was a few days before Christmas, and the Charlie Brown Christmas cartoon was having its annual showing, and I'm sure everyone here has seen that. But it's the part where Linus reads to Charlie Brown about the birth of Christ from the second chapter of Luke. And I had never seen or heard anything in the Bible before, and I watched it in amazement. Charlie Brown was feeling sad because he did not know, and no one had told him the true meaning of Christmas. In childlike faith, something stirred within my heart. I am ashamed to say that I made fun of Christians and their beliefs. Many times I would make fun of Scott and his family for what they believed and how ignorant I was. I took great pride in pointing out what I believed and was very vocal about letting any Christian know there was no such thing as God. Being raised in a home with alcohol abuse and dysfunction, I learned to become a controlling, selfish person. However, my husband Scott and I were high school sweethearts. He was the first normal thing in my life. We married when I was 20. However, with a series of bad choices and both of us with addictive personalities, we were lost. We functioned and held jobs, but alcohol was starting to ruin our lives. Scott's DUI in August 1988 was a blessing in disguise, though at the time it was the worst thing that could happen to us. A week after this life-changing event, out of the blue, the Lutheran pastor from the church that Scott was a member of contacted me, as he had done many times before, and invited us to a Bible information class. In that moment, so many thoughts went through my mind. I knew we needed help, and I wanted desperately to help Scott and to help myself, but was this the way? I blurted in the phone, okay, knowing what I was committing myself to. After the first lesson, I said to Scott, I guess this means we'll have to start going to church, huh? We met at our home since we were the only ones who were taking the class, and our oldest daughter was still an infant. This kind pastor, with three young children of his own, gave up his Monday evenings for 8 months. Sitting on our couch as he taught the lesson, I grilled him on every point I could. Though the teachings were different, the gospel was presented. About 3 months into the class, I knew my heart was changing. The pastor asked me if I wanted to be baptized. I knew I wanted to hear everything about the Savior before I surrendered, and I asked many questions, not accepting anything without proof. I would not sing a hymn or take communion until I had completed this course. I wanted this important decision to be mine. On May 28, 1989, I surrendered my heart to the Lord, who I am today. I was only a baby Christian during the time we attended the Lutheran Church. In 2005, through a fortunate circumstance, Pastor Dan was Ian's baseball coach, and we started attending Crossroads and joined the church later that year. Since joining this church family, my knowledge of who Christ is and how much he loves me has continued to grow and grow. I am eager to share this love with others, even if it means speaking in public, which I hate. So, being a Christian in my family has not been easy. My mother thought I had been brainwashed, and Scott and I were made fun of and put in uncomfortable situations for years, but that never stopped me from witnessing to my parents. In the last few years of their lives, they listened kindly, they dearly loved our family, and saw something in our lives that my siblings did not have. It was the love and peace that can only come from the Lord. In 2011, knowing my parents' health was declining, our family flew out to Oregon to visit them one last time. Saying goodbye. was one of the hardest things I have ever done. I held my mother's face to mine and pleaded with her to make her decision to accept the Lord as her Savior, telling her I wanted to see her in heaven. We left there with no assurance from her or my father, but with the knowledge that I had done everything I could for the Lord. 4 months later, my father called me the day before he died. He told me he believed everything I had shared with him. He told us he would see us in heaven and how he wanted the love in his life that Scott and I had in ours. Though he did not know the right language to use, I truly believe my father gave his heart to the Lord that day. My mother, however, was much more stubborn. She openly denied everything my father had said and told me she did not believe as he did. Well, time and ailing health has a way of softening someone's heart. 1 year after my father died, one of my brothers drank himself to death days after visiting my mother. That was difficult on her, and she passed away within the month. Not knowing what she believed again, I must trust the Lord that I said the right things to her. A few weeks after her passing, I got a note from the Hospice Society in Oregon. Inside the note, my mother had handwritten a sentence. It simply said, "You might be right." I like to believe she accepted Christ before her death. People from my younger days would not know me. Those many years ago, Christ showed his love for me through our Lutheran pastor, and life has never been the same. I don't even know that person I was before she is gone. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you, Colette.
Amazing. Is that good stuff or what, huh? I'm going to tell you something right now. If Colette can put her thoughts together and share with you those things, you can do that too. You can share your testimony. Your story is different than hers. Maybe you weren't raised as an atheist as she was, but you have a story too. And you know, who better to share your story than you? You. Who else can tell it but you? Colette mentioned this, and I think it's a fitting way to end this message, because in your handout it says this, and I want to give you the last few sentences there. And Colette, I really appreciate you doing that today. It says in your handout, that last thing, refuse to allow negative reaction to squelch your witness. I got to tell you some folks, if you're looking for a great ending to this story, and I know some of you are thinking, so how did it end? Paul was up there on the steps, and he shared his testimony, and the whole city of Jerusalem fell on their knees and accepted Christ, right? No. No, it wasn't that kind of an ending. In fact, they cried out. They said, away with such a fellow. They said in verse 22, it's not fit that he should live. Now, I believe there probably was people in that audience whose hearts were touched. We don't have any record of it. We don't have any record of it. We just know that the crowd as a whole were not very receptive to Paul's testimony. So I want to encourage you, though, because Paul did not quit sharing his testimony. He didn't stop. He kept sharing it. He kept telling people. He wrote so many books of the Bible after this. I mean, he did not stop witnessing. When you give your testimony, be prepared for one of several responses. There are some people who may just shut you down. They may interrupt you and not allow you to finish. They may go, whoa, I don't want to hear it. So what do? Well, there's nothing you can do. If they say, I want to hear it, well, there's not much you can do, right? Especially if they're bigger than you, right? You just shut up. But no, I mean, there's nothing you could do. They may do that. They may say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to go there. I don't want to talk about that. Okay. In your handout, it says, you may be rejected or resented. Colette said she was. Colette said in her testimony this morning that after she gave her heart to Christ, and they, her and Scott, I know Scott also got saved, there was some resentment. Am I fair in saying that? There was some resentment there from her parents who raised her as an atheist. There was some resentment, I'm sure, from other extended family. And there was some rejection. That hurts. But they didn't let it stop them. They didn't let it stop them. And, you know, you may suffer that when you share your testimony. But in your handout, it says your testimony may be gladly accepted and received. You know, there are people that you share your testimony and they're drawn to that. You may not even know it by looking at them. You may share your testimony and they may act like they're only half listening. They lay their head down on their pillow at night and they're thinking about everything you said. Your testimony, when you share it, yeah, you might be rejected, you might be resented, but praise God, it might be received. And you know what? Doesn't that make it all worth it? Amen. Hey, if you have 9 people reject you and 1 receives it, that means there's another person that's going to be in heaven because of your life. And it's worth it. The Apostle Paul, yeah, I know they rejected it. But you know what? I could take you to Acts 17:4, Acts 17:12, Acts 17:34, Acts 18:8, Acts 19:18. All those verses and many more record people who heard Paul's testimony and they received it and they got saved and their life was changed. So don't let that stop you. In your handout is a verse that I think we need to all remember. And I'll bring it up on the screen. For I am not what? Ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. Everybody look at that with me. For it is the what? Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Do you all believe if you share your testimony that some will believe? I think they will. It's the power of God unto salvation. I want to encourage you this morning. Share your testimony. How? Hey, how? BC. Tell them what you were BC. What does BC stand for? Before Christ. Tell them what happened when you got saved. And then tell them what's happened in your life since you got saved. Very simple. I told you it wasn't complicated. I told you this was going to be a simple message. You know? And it is. I mean, there it is. Look. Share with them your life before Christ, BC. Explain what happened when you were saved. Share what God's done in your life since you were saved. And of course, don't let negative reaction stop you. Amen, church? And now listen. There may be someone in here right now under the sound of my voice, and you know what you're thinking? You're thinking what I would have been thinking several years ago. You're thinking in your mind, I don't have a story. I don't know that I'm saved. In fact, if I died today, I don't know that I would go to heaven. There's maybe a married couple in here right now. You need to get saved today. You know what the good news is? You know, you may not have a story. You may not know you're saved. But May 19th, 2013, God's willing to take you into His family. God's willing to receive you just as you are. Today, May 19th, can be the day that you are saved. Today can be the day. We had a young man come all the way down from the balcony. Got saved today. Whew, praise God. Don't you know he's feeling good right about now? Amen. He knows he's going to heaven now. He knows Jesus is his Savior. He knows his sins are forgiven. He knows he has the life of God inside of him. You can know that. God's no respecter of persons. He'll take you into his family just as quickly as he'll take anyone else. Today you can be saved and your story can begin. If you're not saved, you need to get saved today.